Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Minister Mackenzie, and I'm filling in for Pastor Spencer tonight. So, Pastor Spencer, Pastor Rhonda, thank you so much for allowing me to teach the Word of God tonight. In your absence, I'm going to do my best to make you guys proud. So Pastor Spencer left off at healing last week, and I'm going to go to Knowing the Will of God, chapter 4, and we'll let him finish up healing because he's awesome at that and very, very knowledgeable, has a lot of faith around that area, so we'll let him finish that up. So chapter 4 in the green book is Knowing the Will of God. Knowing the will of God is something that a lot of people struggle with, both saved and unsaved. It's something that a lot of unsaved people get tripped up about because they think that anything that happens in life, well, it must have been the will of God or it must have been fate. And a lot of people think that whatever happens in life, you have to take because it's happened, whether it be sickness or a season of poverty in your life or a crazy car accident happens and a family member dies or somebody close to you dies, something like that. We automatically think that just because it's happened, it means that God wanted it to happen, and that's not the case at all. So knowing the will of God should be easy because his will lines up with his word, right? Everything that we need to know in this life is in his word. And if we know the word and we know it well and we believe it and we take a hold of his promises, then we should know the will of God for our lives for the most part. We'll get into why so many people, including myself, a lot of the times get so confused about, well, there's a bunch of doors that just opened in my life. Should I take this one? Should I take this one? Both of these options seem really, really bad over here, but I feel like I'm being forced into both of them. So are either of those the will of God? We'll get into all of that. So God's will is not supposed to be spooky. It's not supposed to be hidden. It's not supposed to be mysterious. He laid it out all very, very obviously in his word, right? Everything that we face in this life, we check back to the word of God. The word of God does not change. The word of God is proven to be truth. It is higher than the name of Jesus. The word says that, God said himself, I hold my word above my own name. So his word is what we have to check. Everything that happens into our lives, every word that a person speaks over us or to us, every circumstance, we need to check it with the word of God and say, is this happening? Is this God's will? And is it lining up with the word? If it's not, it's not his will. Very simple. And because there are so many different things that happen, so many different people speaking into our lives, so many different circumstances, it can get really, really hard, especially our own thoughts. I don't know about you guys, but my own thoughts and emotions can sound like the Holy Spirit sometimes because it sounds good or it feels good. But the word says that there is a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. So even if it feels right sometimes, or it sounds right because you've thought it out, I'm very analytical. Sometimes I can make things make sense by thinking about it for 5 hours and then realize it's not even the word of God. So we'll get into all of that. So first of all, we want to go over to how God spoke to his people in the old covenant, because it's really, really important to understand why we have such a better covenant today in terms of our relationship with God and why we have better access to him today. So in the Old Testament, God did not just talk with anyone. He only spoke to certain leaders and gave them instructions to speak to the people of Israel. God spoke through and to prophets. So that's one of the people groups that he spoke to in the old covenant. Elisha and Elijah were very, very good examples of this. You can see in the story of 1 Kings 17, 15 through 17, it says, so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So back in the old covenant, it says right here in the word of God that the Lord used to use prophets as his literal own mouthpiece. Even in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord said to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to these dry bones. and they will come back to life pretty much. So he said, okay, I prophesy to these dry bones, and it was taken as the word of God, and it had just as much power. So that's one group of people is the prophets. The priests, so Leviticus 10, 8, and 9 says, then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of the meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And then in Exodus 4, 27, it says, the Lord said to Aaron, who was the priest, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So we've got priests, we've got prophets that God spoke to. The other one is leaders and kings. So he spoke to David a lot. In 2 Samuel 23, 1 through 2, it says, thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. That is so powerful. He also spoke to Moses in Exodus. So God did not speak to all the people. They did not have open communication with God the Father, which is really, really sad. That was the price that generations and generations had to pay for the sin that Adam and Eve committed. We remember that before all of this happened in the garden, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. There was absolutely no separation. They didn't have to go to a priest. They didn't have to make sacrifices. They didn't have to get the word of God through another person, through a mediator. They could just speak face to face right with God. And because of that sin that happened, that communication line, that was broken for a very long time until Jesus came back and made that right for us. So Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on a better promise. So Jesus came to restore what Adam and Eve lost in the garden, and that was the ability to talk with the Father and for him to speak to us. So imagine living in the old covenant and trying to figure out what the will of God was by having all of these third-party people speak. And they didn't have access 24/7 to these third party people either. They weren't able to go to the king's palace 24/7 and get the word of God. They weren't able to follow the prophets around all the time and hear what the specific will of the Father was for their lives. They didn't have that privilege. So that must have been difficult. They still had the law. But I think a lot of us are still living as if we're in the old covenant. We have to go to pastor in order to get a word. We have to be prophesied over in this special service with this special speaker, or else I don't have any direction for my life. And good news, that's not true. We have the Holy Spirit. Each and every single one of us do if we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit, and that connection back to the Father has been restored through Jesus Christ. I think that is so awesome that we don't have to have another mediator. Jesus was and is our mediator. And now we have access to the written word of God, which is so powerful. And we have access to the Holy Spirit that guides us. That is the new and better covenant that I think a lot of us are missing out on. Just knowing the word of God will clear up a lot of that confusion about where we're supposed to go in life. And that's the first thing that we should be going to. The word of God, and pray to the Holy Spirit. Search it out in the Word of God and pray to the Holy Spirit. If there's still confusion, then we can go to pastor and ask, or go to our group leader or a minister or something like that. But we have such an awesome open connection with our Father today through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, and we should be taking advantage of that. Awesome. So Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse. It's verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There are a lot of times when we can find ourselves in time of need. Sometimes we get ourselves into really, really dumb situations that didn't even need to happen. Guess what the Word of God says here in verse 16? We can come boldly to the throne of grace whenever we need help, whenever we're in a time of need. Sometimes really unfortunate circumstances happen to us, whether through an accident or somebody does something really vile and nasty and disgusting. And sometimes, quote unquote, life just happens, or we get an attack from the enemy on our lives. It says, whenever we are in need, that's when we run boldly to the throne of grace. That's why we can call him our Father. When we are saved, we, of course, he judges us, but we're able to run to him as a father, not as somebody who's pronouncing judgment, because our sin is washed clean, right? So whenever we're in a bind, whether we did it to ourselves again, or somebody did something bad to us, or we find that life just kind of keeps beating us down, we run to the throne of grace, as the Word says, because we have that relationship back now that Jesus died. It's so exciting. Can you tell that I'm a worshiper? Anytime I can just go to the throne, I'm like, oh, Jesus, let me come. Okay, sorry. I'm dramatic too. That's why I'm the head of the drama team. Praise God. Okay, so 1 John 5:4-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for him. So we can have confidence that as long as it's in his will, we can have it. That's wild for me to think about, because I don't know about you guys, I didn't grow up with a you can have this, you can have that. Even good things, I didn't grow up like that. You can have this, you can have that. A lot of times I was told no. A lot of times I was told we can't afford that right now. A lot of times we were told, oh, well, I wish I could have just given you more. I'm so sorry. But it's awesome that we're participants in the kingdom of God, because this says right here, as long as it's in his will, then we can ask for it. So now the deeper question is, okay, that sounds great. What's according to your will? Can I ask for, I don't know, a Mercedes? Is it the will of God for me to have a Mercedes? Is it the will of God for me to move halfway across the country because I hate the cold? Is it the will of God for me to, I don't know, anything. That's what we should be asking ourselves whenever we want to make a move in life, right? Is this the will of God? And we find that out through prayer, through reading the Word, and then through seeking counsel. So this is a great question right here. It says, what ways does the Father use to speak and direct us? Romans 8:14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, if you're a son or a daughter of God, you're led by the Spirit. Okay. This says right here, we're not led by our emotions. We're not led by our own, as Pastor says, gut theologies of what we think we're just right because this is the way I've always been taught and that's just the way it is. No, we are led by the Spirit of God. So many people want to be led by so many manners other than by God's primary desire. The Word does not say that we are led by the prophecy. So that means that, isn't it, okay, this is kind of cool. Isn't it exciting that if a very well-known prophet comes and he, like, speaks a word of God over you, or he's got something that he can tell, like, oh, this is going to happen for you and however, and he gives you direction. Isn't that, like, really exciting moment? I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It's exciting for me. But the Word says that we are not led by prophecy. We're led by the Spirit of God. So when those things happen, is that good? Yes, that's awesome. But that's not supposed to be what we're led by. That's supposed to be our confirmation for what the Holy Spirit has already told us. So sometimes sometimes people can be wrong in their gift of prophecy. People are they're flawed, and the Word says that people only prophesy in part. Sometimes they don't get the whole picture of what God's trying to say to us. So what does that mean? If I come up and I'm a prophet, so to speak, and I say, hey, Ken, tomorrow somebody's going to come knocking on your door and they're going to have a steak dinner prepared for you already. This is what God is showing me by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he says, okay, yes. And I'm so excited. That's definitely going to happen because a man said it. It's not the attitude that he should go into with that prophecy, right? It should be, okay, that sounds interesting. I'll receive it if it happens. I'll put it in my back pocket, okay? There are a lot of things that prophets will say that may not make sense to you, and that's okay. Maybe it comes true 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line. Maybe it happens tomorrow. We don't know. But we're not to be led in our entire course of direction for our entire lives by just the gift of prophecy. It can get very, very exciting. But I know if somebody came up to me tomorrow and they said, God told me, Pastor Rhonda says that that's a very, very dangerous thing to hear out of a person's mouth. God told me. Prophets usually don't speak that way. So if you hear that, just put it in your back pocket. But if somebody came up to me and they said, hey, you're supposed to be the next senior leader of His Tabernacle Family Church. I didn't hear that by the Holy Spirit. My leaders never confirmed anything with me about that. Could they be wrong? I think they are wrong, but because I'm not just going to sit here and tell a prophet like, you're wrong. That's just not my style. I'll be like, okay, thank you. Put it in your back pocket. If it doesn't immediately spark something in your spirit, like I feel that and I know exactly what you're talking about, or the Holy Spirit has been telling me this, or another prophet just told me the same exact thing a couple weeks ago in a different service, I know this is real. If you don't have that, like, ooh, I know this is real, then just put it in your back pocket. Even if you feel like you know it's real, just put it in your back pocket and wait for that confirmation. If it never comes to pass, then we know that person might have been a little bit off, or maybe it was for the person next to you or something. But our lives are not directed by that. Prophecy is for confirmation for what the Holy Spirit has already told us. By the way, I've never had anybody prophesy over me that I was supposed to lead worship. Never happened. I just kind of knew that I knew that I knew, and it was because Holy Spirit was birthing that vision in me ever since I was a child. I knew that I was supposed to do this, at least for a good season in my life, and nobody prophesied that over me. So if I went by prophecy and just prophecy alone of, oh, nobody called me out of the crowd at some conference and told me I was supposed to, so I guess it's not for me. No, we're led by the Spirit of God because I'm a daughter of God. Amen. Awesome. So the word led in that verse, in Romans 8:14, the word led here means to lead, to take one, to lead by laying hold of, and this way to bring to the point of destination, to lead by accompanying to. So this verse is literally saying, Romans 8:14, that we are led or taken by the hand and walked daily to our destination by the Spirit of God. If we are not being led in the correct manner, then we can become lost or disillusioned or confused. What time is it? Okay, cool. Religion tries to tell you how and what God desires, but the word and the leading of the Spirit is the final authority. Some people have been taught that you are led by these diverse expressions. So some are led by their pastor. God can use pastors, but the pastor is not the Holy Spirit and does not know what's in the future. So, if I were a pastor, I couldn't go up to Donna and say, Donna, quit your job tomorrow because I'm the pastor. And because I hear from God, so you have to. If you don't quit your job tomorrow, you're not in the will of God. I can't do that. And pastor in this chapter warns against pastors and churches that do that. Why? Because they're the leaders, but they're not leading us in the way every single day, hand taking us to our destination. We get confirmation through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit about where we're supposed to go. But pastors do not lead us in that way. He says right here, it is good to go and get wisdom and counsel, but the pastor cannot be the final authority in your life. No way. It must be the Holy Spirit. It must be. It must be the Word of God. It cannot be a pastor. So if Donna comes up to me and she says, hey, I'm thinking about quitting my job tomorrow and I'm the pastor, I might be able to say, okay, why are you doing this? Have you prayed about it? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you? Is there something really, really wrong with your boss and it's dangerous for you and you need to get out? Those are the things that the pastor is going to counsel us in and try and give us wisdom by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, most importantly. They can give you their opinion, and I've asked a bunch of pastors their opinion. There's nothing wrong with that, but they're not supposed to preach their opinion as gospel. And I'm really, really thankful that our pastors here don't do that. They're very Holy Spirit led. They always check everything with the Word of God, and that's what's supposed to happen. So if you encounter a pastor that's trying to tell you all about your life and trying to tell you exactly what to do, and you're in sin and you're going to hell if you don't listen to me because I'm the pastor, that's a hot mess that you should just walk away from. Amen. So some are led by their church. Pastor says, this is scary. Church can be a part of the direction that you're supposed to go through in life, but when you are being led by the Spirit of God, your final direction is confirmed in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, God, who lives on the inside of you. Some denominations dictate that what people can and cannot do, but their mandates are not in the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is not in that leading. The Word and the Spirit always agree. The church and the Word do not always agree. So there are some denominations and some styles of going to church that will demand you to go a certain way in life, live a certain way, and sometimes those things are not specified in the Word of God. And Pastor says, gray matter doesn't matter, right? We're not going to try and separate the black and white in something that's completely gray. So if it's gray matter, just leave it gray matter and let that person be led by the Holy Spirit in their conviction. Some denominations are pretty dangerous in the way that they demand people to live. And why is it dangerous? Because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's simple. I haven't had enough church experience to really encounter many other church cultures. I know some other denominations I know of, and I'm not going to say it, but if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, just do not take it as gospel, no matter who is at the pulpit, no matter how big their church is, how good they sound. If it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not gospel. Some people are led by the prophets. So Pastor says here, I believe 100% in the prophetic mantle of God, but we are called to be led by the Spirit, not the prophets. In the Old Testament, you didn't have a choice. We didn't have a choice in the Old Testament. Why? Because we didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us in the Old Testament. So if a prophet were to come up to you and give you a word, especially a very well-known prophet, you could take that as the Word of God, for sure. But Jesus hadn't come and he hadn't died, so we didn't have that relationship with God. We didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The blood of Jesus did not completely wash away our sins, so we were kind of stuck, right? We had to listen to the prophets. We had to listen to the kings. Now we're in a new and better covenant, so the prophets are just to, again, confirm what the Holy Spirit has already spoken to us on the inside. Pastor says, I have had prophets speak over me, and they were so far off the mark. If I had simply said, okay, the prophet said so, then I would not be in ministry today. The prophet's word is for confirmation. If the prophet tells you something you do not know about, then I would encourage you to put it in your back pocket and pray about it. If it is a true word, then it'll come to pass. It is always wise, if you have questions, to go to your pastor and ask him to pray with you or to help bring you understanding. This actually happened to me before, now that I think about it. So it was like a supposed word of knowledge, and a pastor was here. It was at the beginning of this year. And he spoke over me, and he said, I believe you're looking for love in all of the wrong places. And if you would just surrender to God and really give your life to him, then all of that confusion will be cleared up, and you'll know him as like your one true love or something. And the only thing that hit me was complete confusion, just complete confusion. And I didn't come out of that, and I wasn't like, oh, he's wrong or whatever. I was just like looking for love in all the wrong places. What? Where am I looking for love? I don't understand. And I was dating Jalen at the time, but I got immediately confused. I was like, okay, does that mean I'm not supposed to be dating Jalen? I'm not really looking for anything else. I know Jesus is my first love. He's not jealous of God. He knows I belong to the Lord first. So I went up to Pastor Rhonda, and she told me, I don't care what a man says. If it doesn't agree with the word and with your spirit, put it in your back pocket, is what she said. And he was awesome minister. His word was like really, really great. He preached biblically. But that little confusion, I just had to check, because if I wouldn't have checked with Pastor Rhonda, I have no idea what I would have done with that. I really, really chew on things for way much longer than I should. So who knows what I would have done? I'm probably, oh, Jalen, you're not the one for me. He said I'm looking for love in the wrong places. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So who knows what I would have done? But it's really, really good to check with our pastors and make sure that they understand. They know and have seen and have encountered way more than me, than any of us in this room. Like, they have a story for every single circumstance, a couple of them. So we can check with them, thank God, and make sure that we're on the right path. We are not directed by the pastor, personally or corporately. Pastor can't say, all right, it's the will of God that we're picking up and moving to Florida tomorrow, because God said to do that with all of us. It didn't really happen. Asking the pastor for wisdom is a good thing. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. The advice of the pastor should witness with your spirit, where the Holy Spirit is doing the directing. Yes, so in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Check a couple different people that you know are in the Word of God. Check a couple different people who you know are wise, even in a certain area. Sometimes if I'm super confused on something, I'll ask a couple people. I won't ask everybody so I can get everybody's thoughts and opinions or whatever, but people who I know will give me the Word and who are Spirit-led, I will check with them before I make any decisions, for sure. We are not directed by the church. There are many styles of churches, and there are some to run away from. There was recently posted on Facebook that a church put out a document that quoted Malachi chapter 3, which says, "Will a man rob God?" Then they passed out the list of names in the congregation who did not tithe. It's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. Yeah, pastor says, wow, run. you are not led by the church. You are led by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. The next one that we are not directed by, so we're not directed by a pastor. We're not directed by a church. We're not directed by a fleece. I didn't even know what this was until pastor said it. So Judges 6:37 says, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry all around the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Once you put out fleeces, you get fleeced. Or in other words, saying, God, if you do this, then I know it's from you. That is like, I don't know how many times I've prayed that. Just wanting something to happen. God, if you make 20 extra dollars show up in my bank account, then I know you want me to go to McDonald's. Like, just silly stuff like that. Or, God, if this certain person talks to me, then I know we're not supposed to, whatever circumstances we've made up in our heads, however we're trying to manipulate the will of God to make it seem like what we want is really what he wants. And the word says that our flesh is the enemy of God. So if it lines up with your flesh, it probably isn't the will of God. If God, you do this, then I know it's you. Yeah, that is so dangerous. This happened only once in the Bible, yet people use it as a staple doctrine. So pastor teaches that unless it happens like three solid, very clear times in the Word, we don't make it doctrine. So that was just like a certain circumstance for a certain person in the Bible. We are not led by fleeces. We are led by the Holy Spirit who moves us from the inside and with direction. So pastors, churches, and fleeces, we are not directed by. The next one is open and closed doors. Open and closed doors. So the only doors Paul asked for were open opportunities of ministry, not for direction in everyday life. So we definitely want open doors to minister to people, right? We want God to open doors for us. We want to be able to notice opportunities in every single day life to share the gospel. Asking for a bunch of open doors in the circumstance of trying to get a new job, where to go to school, what house to buy, where to settle down, anything like that, any big financial move, any big move with your health, any big thing like that. We don't ask for open and closed doors. And why don't we ask for open and closed doors? Exactly. The devil can close and open doors too, and make a lot of open doors look very, very appealing. And it just might simply not be the will of God. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." And then Colossians 4:13 says, "Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." The enemy can definitely open doors that look really, really good for us, and that could completely get us in a load of trouble. And life can open doors, and random circumstances pop up, and people can open doors for us that are not Holy Spirit-led. "Oh, you're my cousin. I'll give you a job over here," whatever. Like, well, that's really nice of you, but what did the Holy Spirit say? We want to make every single opportunity directed by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, not just because some opportunity flies open. And definitely in America, the land of opportunity, right? It seems like there's open doors everywhere. It's so hard to make a decision sometimes. There's open doors everywhere. You can go any path in life at any moment, and as long as you have like a good plan on how to make it happen, nothing's really going to stop you, right? Not today. There are a ton of opportunities in today's culture, a ton of people that you can get connected with in a millisecond. Maybe the Lord didn't want that door open for you to get connected with to that person. Maybe that's not a divine connection. Maybe that's a diabolical connection. We have no idea. So open and closed doors are generally not a good way to allow yourself to be directed in everyday life. Pastor says, "I remember before I was taught about how to be led by the Spirit, I was mainly governed by this and the fleece." Talk about confusing. So all open doors and all, if God, you do this for me, then I know it's you. And I'm sure he has a ton of stories. He said, "When I was on the road full time, I started praying for an open door for a church to pastor. Shazam, 3 opportunities open. Now I'm all messed up. Which door is from God? 3 opportunities immediately open up. Which one are you supposed to choose?" When you are directed in this manner, you must also remember that the devil can open doors too. To finish my story, this is what Pastor's story, I was not supposed to go to any of those churches. I was supposed to apostle his Tabernacle Family Church. If I had taken one of those doors, I would have not be where the Lord desired me to be in ministry. So the enemy or life or people or whatever can open a ton of doors for you if you put the opportunity out there. If you let too many people know what you're doing, they might open the wrong door too. And then what are you supposed to do? None of them might be from God. And anything, any way that God directs us in this life, he's going to get the glory, right? That's what we all want. We want all the glory to go to God. We want a huge testimony out of that thing. We want it to build people's faith. And we know that he wants that too. So whatever door he opens, if it, you know, opens a door, supposedly, is going to bring glory to God, and that's what we all want. Circumstances, this one trips all of us up. We are not directed by circumstances, just everyday life that happens to come by us. Something happens tomorrow. Oh, I guess that was the will of God. Something didn't happen. Something's not going to happen in 5 years that I thought would happen. Oh, I guess it wasn't the will of God. No, 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 no. Fate and God do not go together. You cannot say, oh, it was just meant to happen, I guess, and believe that God has a plan and a will and knows the plans in your world. Like Jeremiah 29:11 says, those things don't match up. And sometimes we like to say that because it comforts us. Oh, this happened and, well, I guess it was just supposed to happen, or I guess, I don't know, I guess I'll just take life wherever it... That's not what... We don't have to take that, and that's not how we have to live. All things happen for a reason. That is not true. The devil does not need a reason to attack you. He does not need a reason to open up the wrong door and bait you to walk through it. People... Not even people all the time need a reason to do anything in this world. Sometimes people just do it just because... they do it just because they feel like it. And then you never know. Somebody's decision could jack up your whole life. Did that happen for a reason? The only reason maybe is because they were not smart that day. So all things happen for a reason. That is not true at all. If it is against the word and what Jesus purchased on the cross, then it is not from God and should be thwarted, not accepted. When we allow circumstances to guide us, then we are at the whim of the world and the devil. That is scary. When we allow circumstances to guide us, when we are at the whim of the world, when we allow circumstances to guide us, then we are at the whim of the world and the devil. So if we sit back and we say, okay, life is just a journey. What is it? Life is a highway. I want to ride it. Well, which exit are you supposed to take? Are you supposed to take this one? This one? What happens if a storm comes or an ice storm and you're stuck on the highway for the next however long? Now you're stuck on the journey of life. We don't have to take that. And I have no interest in being in the crazy roller coaster psychoness that the world and the devil have to offer. I have no interest in that at all. The world, both the world and the devil, are extremely wishy-washy. The world has no idea how to make us happy, no idea how to lead us, no idea how to comfort us, no idea how to sustain us, not financially, not emotionally, not physically, definitely not spiritually. The world changes every single day. There's nothing steady about the world at all. Today, eggs are good for you. Tomorrow, they're bad for you. Today, coffee's loaded with antioxidants. Tomorrow, it's going to give you a heart attack. What? I do not want to be led by that. We can't blame the world for that. They don't know Jesus, right? They're just trying to grab onto answers and try to grab onto whatever makes them feel good in the moment. You know what I mean? So we can't blame them, but we don't have to get on that roller coaster with them. And certainly not the devil. The devil can only speak lies. So if it's opposite of the word of God, you know who's speaking. The word says that the truth is not in the devil, not an ounce of truth. He can only speak lies, and it lines up with his character. He speaks lies because he's a liar. Simply as that. So if it's against the truth of the word of God, then we know who is responsible for it, right? We can never allow our lives to be directed by our circumstances, or we will be so messed up and confused because our circumstances change every single day. There is no stability in circumstances. That is why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot allow our lives to be guided by circumstances, but by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Something that's kind of scary about being guided by our circumstances is that usually, and Pastor Rhonda teaches this, I think she teaches it in her No More Hurt book, and in God Cannot Lie Too, is that when an unfortunate circumstance happens in our life, or a positive one, whatever, every single emotion will rise up in that very second and support whatever just happened. So whenever a good or bad circumstance happens in life, whichever, that your emotions, your soul will immediately flood you with all types of feelings and thoughts that support whatever just happened. Graduations are really, really cool. Graduations are fun to watch people. And when you watch, all your emotions flood. Look how proud I am of that person. They have their whole lives ahead of them. You go. You get a bunch of pride and excitement for that person, right? Your soul was just flooded with a bunch of emotions. Or you just get news that somebody very, very close to you passed. What floods you? Grief, right? A lot of grief. A lot of us have been through that. Or let's just say like you lose your job. What's going to happen? Immediately fear, panic. How am I going to make it through this? Blah, 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 blah. So our emotions are just as unstable as the circumstances, and they tend to line up, unfortunately. Unfortunately, they line up with what the circumstance is portraying. So if the circumstance is unsteady and negative, those emotions, because we have a real flesh and real emotions, they're going to flood our soul and our mind with everything to support that, especially if we're offended. And what we've got to do in those moments is arrest those emotions and arrest those thoughts immediately. Why? Because as soon as we let that stuff out of our mouth, we are actually reinforcing that negative circumstance that just happened. Remember, the word of God says that life and death are of the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So if we allow those negative emotions to get in our heart, for so a man thinks, or whatever is in his heart and what he thinks, so is he. So if we let that stuff out of our mouths in that moment, we are actually reinforcing that negative circumstance. So what happens? I lose my job tomorrow. I sit there. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I have absolutely no way of income. I'm going to lose my house. My kids are going to starve. I have absolutely no plan for life. I don't even have a degree, blah, 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 all of this stuff. And we start spitting that out of our mouths. We're planting seeds. We're planting the seeds that we don't even want to harvest, right? That is a really, really bad way to be led. I don't want to be led by my circumstance, and I don't want to be led by those crazy emotions and thoughts that want to just blurt out of my mouth 24/7, because that's what's going to lead us in life, and it won't be the Holy Spirit at that point. That's dangerous. We're just kind of allowing seeds of doubt to be planted, and then we pick up a little doubt plant, and we're like, oh, how did this get here? Now I'm struggling in my faith. Well, we kept planting that seed because of whatever circumstance just happened, right? So we walk by faith and not by sight, which means that whatever circumstance comes our way, we don't look at it as well, it might be a fact. We don't look at it as the truth, right? We don't look at it as, well, I guess it just happened, so it must have been God that wanted it. Or this is what I have to take from now. I guess I just have to roll with the punches of life, right? Life is really beating me up right now, and I guess that's just how it is. No, what we want to do, because those thoughts and emotions are very, I mean, they're natural, they're going to happen. We want to arrest those and get the word of God in us so that when it comes to prophesy over our own lives, it's the word of God that's doing it, right? Not our crazy emotions and our crazy thoughts and brains and everything that wants to support that negative emotion. We want the word of God to prophesy over our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to prophesy over our lives. Sorry, that's not in here. We do not want to be led by our circumstances, because if... sooner or later, we're going to allow ourselves to prophesy all that negativity. And then a couple years down the road, why has my life been like that? How were we speaking this whole time? What seeds were we planting? How are we prophesying? Did we love the fruit of our lips? Did we put the word of God on the inside of us so much that that came out instead of our own emotions? Or did we just take life and, oh, guess I'm just going to get beat up by life again today? I don't know. And it's our choice. Thank God, right? God gave us that. Our life is our choice. Pastor Rhonda teaches that the life we're living today is a result of the choices and the seeds we planted in the past. So I want to be led by the word of God. I want to speak the word of God so that in the next 5 years, what I harvest is what I planted today. And that can be the word of God. That doesn't have to be my circumstances. That can be the word of God. Amen? Awesome. So direction, now we get. So we got what we're not directed by. Let's just recap really quick. We're not directed by our pastor, our church, a fleece, open and closed doors, or circumstances. We're directed through the word of God. Amen. I love the word of God. The number one way to hear the voice of God and to judge what you are hearing is from the word of God. All voices have to line up with the word, or the voice is not of God. Plain and simple. If the voice does not line up with the word of God, it's either the enemy or yourself or some other person speaking into your life that doesn't need to be speaking into it. So if you're struggling with a decision in life and it doesn't line up with the word of God, I mean, my brain tells me to do stuff that's not the word of God all the time. That's what the flesh is, right? That's what the soul is. You don't listen to it, right? Even if it feels good. That's why we have to be in the word of God and know the word of God. A lot of things can sound like the gospel because a lot of things feel good to our emotions and to our flesh. I don't want to be dictated by those things. Sometimes the word of God doesn't feel good. The truth doesn't always, it's not always pretty, okay? It doesn't always, quote unquote, sit well. Like, oh, that kind of hurt. I don't want to do that. But if it's the word of God, then you can trust it, right? It doesn't change. God cannot lie, amen? So if it lines up with the word, it is the voice of God. It is the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. You have magnified your word above your name. God's word is the main focus for our direction. If you have a question, look it up in the word. You don't need someone to start prophesying. You need to know the word that will guide you into all truth. That is why the devil works so hard to keep the saints from knowing the word of God, because they do not know God's word. Then they will run around like chickens with their head cut off, confused, bewildered, wandering saints with no solidity or focus. And therefore, they are neutered in the kingdom. They will never fulfill their eternal destiny. Man, I feel bad. Sometimes the devil doesn't even need to work. Sometimes it's just cold and they won't come to church. Sometimes all it takes to keep somebody out of the house of God is, you don't have to go today. It's too cold. Or, you can read your Bible tomorrow. You're fine. You went to church on Sunday, so you don't have to read today. It's totally fine. No, we've got to be in the Word every single day, because if we're not, we won't know whether it's the Word or it's ourselves or it's the enemy or it's someone else's voice or it's something that somebody taught me as a child and for some reason I still believe. We have no idea. We have got to know the Word of God. Everything the pastor preaches, you should be checking out in the Word. No matter if there are great signs and wonders, check it in the Word. When someone tells you something that is from God, check it in the Word. If it is true in the Word, then you can have a peace, the peace of God that rules your heart. So we are to check everything by the Word of God, everything that we do, everything that we do. Pastor Rhonda says it, like, I don't know how to eat, sleep, breathe, act, or do anything without the Word of God. And that is so true. Especially today, everybody has a remedy for something. Everybody has a cure for something. Everybody has a different lifestyle. Oh, if you're stressed, they have meditation apps now. Turn on this meditation app and it'll tell you every couple minutes what to meditate on. Meditate on the flowers and the bees and you'll feel free. I don't know. Or if you're feeling this way, go do yoga. Yoga has health benefits, right? Why don't you just go do some yoga? You'll be fine. Take this drink. You'll be fine. Smoke this weed. You'll be fine. Why don't you put glass in a bag and break it until you're not angry anymore? Then you'll feel better. I don't know. The world doesn't know what it's doing. Check it with the Word of God. So the next thing that we get direction through is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So God does speak in an audible voice at times. Pastor says, I personally have never heard him speak to me in an audible voice, but my uncle has. He was telling me how God called him into the ministry, and he asked God not to do that again. it was probably scary. It was probably a crazy experience. I don't know. I've never heard him audibly either. The majority of the time, you will hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. The voice will not come from above, but from within. And why is that? Holy Spirit lives within, right? So it makes sense, right? There's a lot of times when we're guessing what the Holy Spirit said. Little newsflash, if you're getting a voice on the inside of you to tell or to share the Word of God with somebody, that wasn't the devil. And that certainly wasn't your flesh. So God is always happy and always looking for us to share the Word at all times. The devil will never tell you to do it. And your flesh is the enemy of God. So in that moment, it's probably like, no, you're scared. You're this, you're that. You're too proud. You're all of this stuff. Wow, where was I going with that? Okay. Oh, it's a still small voice on the inside of you. So most of the time, it's not going to sound like an audible voice. Like, I wish it did, because that would be way more obvious sometimes. Like, hey, Mackenzie. Don't buy that laptop that you're going to have to spend way too long paying off. You don't need it. No. I thought it was a good idea, but it wasn't, and it wasn't good. Amen. I don't remember if I did. Oh, you know what? I don't think I asked him. Well, there's the problem. I was just thinking, I don't think I heard him say not to, but I didn't ask him. I was just like, this is a good idea. I'm going to do it now. Yeah. See? Look what we do. Look what we do. That's just a small example. Okay. 1 Kings 19:11-12. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain of the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. John 10:4 says, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." I love John 10, and I don't know why. I just love it so much. It says that the sheep will not follow a stranger's voice, right? There are people that we are very, very close to in this life. My mom could be trying to speak in a voice that's completely fake, and I would still know it was her. Or my brothers, or some people that I've known for years, right? Have you ever had somebody call you up on the phone and try and play a prank with you, and you're like, I know it's you. You're a horrible, like, I know it's you. I know this is you. That's how well we have to know the voice of God. Obviously, he's not going to call us up and prank, but trying to differentiate between other voices. Sometimes you can really sit there and say, maybe every option in life looks really, really good. Maybe you can't see why any of them would be bad at that point. We have no idea. We're not God. We're not all-knowing. Some options in life could look really, really good, and we've got to be able to discern the enemy's voice from God's voice, from our own voice, from whoever's voice pops up into your head when you're trying to just grasp for answers. Maybe it's a teacher's. Maybe it's your parents' voice. I don't know. We've got to be able to discern those things. And that's how close we live, or that's how close we need to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I don't know if you'll watch this or if you're watching, but I have a question. I always have a question. Maybe I should just text him. I don't know. But I'll ask you guys. Maybe you can think about it. This says that after the fire, it was a still, small voice. And I'm wondering if he keeps his voice small so that we have to stay close to him. It's just a question. Like, let's just say Jesus is, like, standing here, and we're right here, and he's speaking in a still, small voice. We can hear him very clearly, but we decide to take our own path in life. I can probably still hear him. I don't know. What'd you say? Oh, I got it. Okay. He's still speaking in a still, small voice. Sooner or later, I'm not going to be able to hear him if I just keep doing my own thing. And it's going to get harder and harder and harder. I'm going to hear my own thoughts, my own wants, my own desires much more loudly and clearly than the still, small voice. So that's just a thing to think about. Okay, anyway, stick to the notes. The voice of the Holy Spirit is like a prompting, an urge, or a desire that you cannot shake. The voice of the Spirit will always agree with the Word of God. There have been times when I had absolutely no desire to contact a few certain people, honestly. And I will feel, just text this person, go to this person's house, see how they're doing, call this person, you know you need to call them, I want them to know that I love them. Something like that. That's what the Holy Spirit will say to me. And I'll wait and wait and wait and wait. Eh, I don't feel like it. They're probably busy. They probably don't even want to hear from me. They're probably mad at me, whatever. But when it lines up with the Word of God and it doesn't leave your spirit, you know it's God. And if you don't want to do it, you really know it's God. Because your flesh is always going to try and fight the will of God every single time. Every single time. Learning the voice is a process. You will feel led when you take that step of faith to obey that leading. Then you will learn to trust that voice that comes from your spirit man. So right when you immediately get saved, and then for the rest of our walk with Jesus until he comes back, we have to learn it every single day. We do. It doesn't just immediately happen. It's a practice thing. And whenever you take that step of faith and you find out that, oh, it is true. Oh, that really was God right there. Oh, I had a small word of knowledge and it was true. Wow, I really heard God that time. Or he told me to give a seed and I got this amount back. Wow, that was really God that time. That is so cool. Those are the moments that really should be giving us faith. And they do give us faith because each time we take a bigger step of faith, a bigger step of faith on the Holy Spirit, really. And it can be a little bit intimidating sometimes. You don't want to take the wrong step. But I would rather take a step of faith and have it be completely wrong than never take one at all and just never know his voice, right? Sometimes if we take a step and it really wasn't God, we know, I'm not going to trust that voice again. Or, And most of the time it's us. I'm not going to trust my own voice again. So we get direction through the word, the voice of the Spirit, and then the peace of God. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That is a pretty easy way to tell if you are in the will of God or not. Something can make you feel good, right? A decision can kind of make you feel good, but if you don't have that peace at the end of the day when you lay your head down on the pillow and say, you know what, I followed the will of God, it wasn't God's will. And we know what periods of peace feel like. We know what periods of anxiety and turmoil feel like. And God does not lead us into turmoil. He does not lead us into anxiety. I did a dumb thing. Oh my gosh, I did a dumb thing. It wasn't sin. It was just not what God wanted me to do. And I really thought it was what God wanted me to do. I even thought I had scriptural evidence on why I should have done it. I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do, and it's going to turn out great. And it didn't turn out great. And when I did it, the first thing that I felt was not peace. Thank you. The first thing that I felt was not peace. It was crippling fear. And by the way, God did not send crippling fear. He doesn't send us a spirit of fear, right? But it lasted for a while. And then when I finally came to that conclusion of, I don't think that was God, that's kind of when I felt like, oh. And I started to be able to rebuild my faith again because I was like, oh, that wasn't God. That wasn't the right timing. That wasn't whatever. Not to say that if you are following the will of God, that a spirit of fear won't try to come upon you and jack your faith up. That definitely happens too. But if you don't have that peace, you can pretty much think that's not the will of God. When I am moving forward in God and I feel that icky, something's not right sense, then I immediately stop. This is Pastor talking. I wish I could say I always immediately stop, but I have overridden the Holy Spirit many times, and each time there has been an unforeseen thing that came and brought regret for not obeying. We've all done that. Not even with the Holy Spirit, just with ourselves. Don't eat the cheeseburger. You're going to regret it. Don't break the fast with a rack of ribs. You're going to regret it. So we have to learn to not override that still small voice, not override that those spiritual alarms really is what they are. We have to learn not to override them. Prayer will really, really help that too, because we don't want to just go based on a feeling. Oh, I don't really feel right about that. We've got to pray about that too. And in moments of prayer, when you're in the presence of God, those will become much clearer. That peace will become much clearer, or that icky feeling will become much clearer, those warning bells. And we can get to a place where we're like, okay, I thought I heard that. Now after I prayed, I definitely know that wasn't right. Thank you, Jesus. He'll do that for us because he doesn't want us constantly going down the wrong path and stumbling all over the place. Brings him no glory. All right. There was another time that my Labrador got hit by a car and died. It was a sad time because he was a great dog and part of the family. This is Pastor's story again. I had decided that every man deserves a dog. So I told my wife I was going to buy a new dog. She simply told me no. After prayer, there was no peace, but I overrode that lack of peace and bought a new Labrador. What I did not know that the Spirit did was that I was going to be leaving that area and traveling full-time on the road as an evangelist. The dog would now be a huge burden and not a joy. Yeah, I can't even imagine trying to be a traveling evangelist and trying to take care of a dog. I can't even. And you know what? That decision was not like life or death, right? It wasn't life or death. I think that just proving right here, God really cares about even the minor decisions that we make. Should I get a dog or not? You know what I mean? We don't have to go through things and do it the hard way every single time. God cares about the smaller decisions that we make too, based on our convenience. That's extremely inconvenient for him. Having to watch over a dog and, well, Pastor Rana watched over it, I'm pretty sure. But having that weight on his wife while he went around and traveled, that was something super, super inconvenient. And I think that God wants all areas of our life smooth. So even with the little things, I think he knows and he cares about it. He wants to be in relationship with us that closely that he can say, hey, don't buy the dog. It's going to cause you problems. Don't buy the laptop. You're going to waste a bunch of money. don't do this, don't do that. He cares about those little things, not just the big life decisions, but the small ones too that are just going to be a pain. He says again, one year I was on a missions trip to another country to teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. On the plane, I got a sinus infection that I was in terrible pain and completely miserable. When I arrived at the church where the conference was to be held, I was introduced to the pastor. Immediately, my peace left. It made no sense. Everything seemed okay, but he was a nice guy. It was a good church, but something just wasn't right. My peace was gone. I preached and taught at the conference and left a day early because my spirit was so out of sorts. I still had no peace. Many years later, a missionary came and told me about what he had learned about that pastor. He was unfaithful and had no financial integrity. Now, many years later, the spirit revealed why my peace was gone and why getting out a day early brought great peace to my spirit, man. So even if we don't get an immediate answer, that's happened to me too, and I still don't know why he did or didn't tell me to do certain things. But in these circumstances, I followed, and I still don't know why. But I would rather not stick around and just, I don't really know why, so we might as well just do it. There's no reason for me to feel like this, so I might as well just do it. Why are you so nervous? Shake it off. Just do it. No, don't shake it off. It is much more wise to just go on the straight and narrow than to try and override the voice of the Holy Spirit and then pay for it later. That confirmation years later, that is so cool. That must have boosted his faith. Wow. I really listened to the Holy Spirit at that moment. I know the voice of God. So even in different situations when it doesn't make sense, you know, he said he looked around. Everything seemed good. It was a good church. It was a good pastor. That's what we mean by not always listening to our circumstances. Never listening to our circumstances. Not trying to base where we're supposed to go in life based on an open door. Because we don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. Everything can look peachy on the outside, but something could really be wrong. And we have to be humble and realize, you know what? I don't know everything. Not everything is as it seems all the time. So the Holy Spirit definitely knows. He has our best interest at heart, even though it might be awesome. It could even be awesome in the moment, a good thing. If the Holy Spirit says no, if you have that bad feeling, then the Holy Spirit and the Bible don't really recommend doing it. The last part before we're ending, I'm going to end super quick. The gifts of the Spirit as confirmation. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very important to the believer. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 says, "For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by that same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." The two gifts that would have to do with some sense of direction here are the word of wisdom and prophecy. So the word of wisdom, this is a bit of information given to a person from God who could not have known the details or direction that God was speaking to you. Words of wisdom are really, really cool. When evangelists come in or people that are greatly gifted and Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., his word of wisdom and his gifts are like spot on. I love watching him. That man knows the voice of the Holy Spirit. He is super gifted. So words of wisdom can help give us some sense of direction and really boost our faith, right? If somebody gives you a word of wisdom and they're like, "Was that right?" You're like, "Yeah, you know God. Tell me something. Pray over me. Do something." It boosts our faith and helps give us a little bit more clear direction. If the Holy Spirit speaks something to us and then someone speaks a word of wisdom or prophecy that lines up with something that seemed a little bit muddy, it can make it really, really clear for us. And then prophecy. This is conveying information from the Father to his children. Prophecy, being the conveyor belt, will work together with the word of wisdom. The children of God are not led by the gifts of the Spirit, but they are the confirming voice from the Father to his children. What happens when someone prophesies something to you that you have never heard before? This is what we talked about before. Check it. It must witness with your spirit. Did you feel a check? Did your peace leave? Did you just know when you're knower? Did you know it was not a God thought or a God statement? If it did not check in, just put it in your back pocket. If it doesn't check with your spirit, just put it in your back pocket and wait for it to come to pass or not to come to pass, and then you'll know. Sometimes time will just reveal things. Just wrapping up this really quickly on knowing the will of God, God has given us a ton of tools to discern whether we are in the will of God or when we're not in the will of God. And the world can make it very, very confusing, giving us so many options, constantly telling us, oh, it's fine, just do this because you'll feel right and go this path and because you only live once and all that crazy stuff. But God has given us so many tools. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And He's given us gifts that confirm what the Spirit of God is already saying to us. And He's telling us to watch out for certain things, right? Pastors who are demanding you to live in a certain way, that's not direction we should be taking. A certain denomination that demands you live a certain way that doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's not the direction that we should be taking. He tells us very clearly, walk by faith and not by sight. Do not look at the outside circumstances of our lives. That is not what we use as a rudder for the ship of life that we're on. So he has given us a ton of things. And the closer that we get to the Holy Spirit, the closer that we get to Jesus, the much more clear we can hear that still small voice. I'm going to pray. And then if you have a gift to bring to the altar, my dude over here has a basket that we can give a little offering to. Amen. Okay. Lord, I just thank you for your voice, God. I thank you that you haven't left us alone to figure things out in this world, God, but you have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God. Your word says that you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and to never harm us, God. So I just pray that as you reveal those plans to us, that we are disciplined to listen to your voice and your voice alone, God. That any time any opportunity would come into our lives, that we would check it with the word. That any voice would try to speak over our lives, something, we would check it with the word. Lord, your word is a guide to us for the rest of our lives, Jesus. And I just thank you so much for making your will so clear to us. You don't want us to wander around guessing what we're doing and if we're making a difference, if we're on the right path or if we've completely missed the mark. God, you want us to know that we know that we know that we are on your path and that we're pleasing you with our lives, God. So continue to speak to us. Continue to reveal your plans to us, Lord, through the gifts and through your word and through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to the word brought to you by Pastor Spencer through me today. Thank you. And we'll see you next week. Yeah, absolutely.